welcome back to Bit by Bit. I'm Jess. I'm here with Janet.
What's up?
And we are talking about the Ubisoft 2017 E3 conference. So they started off the conference with Mario Rabbids, which is like this weird mix of like the little Rabbids creatures, which I guess are native to Ubisoft, right?
Yes.
And then kind of mixing them with the Mario universe in this like strange and really adorable relationship with Nintendo. So have you ever like encountered rabbits before? I'm not really a Ubisoft person.
I know of them.
I've seen them.
Yeah. I haven't played a game with them. I've seen them around in games. I'm not really sure what they are, but
they seem like
they
bunny minions, like minions from Despicable Me.
Are they from like a core franchise, or do they have their own things? They're part of like those Raving Rabbids games, right.
I've seen the games. I've never played them because they're not really in my genre.
I feel like they might have done crossovery things before, but I might just be making that up. But yeah, I know them as like the Raving Rabbids characters, and I never played them because, well, frankly, like they look really gross, so I don't want to.
They're kind of creepy.
I don't want to play a game with them in there.
But now they're in a Mario game, and I would say that while I'm not super interested in the actual premise of the game, I do find the combat system kind of interesting,
mm-hmm.
where you sort of have multiple characters that you're moving around on this map, and so like during combat, and you can like jump on other characters and get to different slots or different places,
mm-hmm.
find cover, you know, get the flank, have an advantage. That's kind of weird to see in a Mario game.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in that aspect of it, enough that I might play it, actually. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a perfect game for, like, to have a demo option, so I'm really
Definitely.
Hoping. I feel like Nintendo's actually been, not, like, big on demos, but I've seen there's been quite a few on the eShop store, usually kind of for, it's just kind of dependent. Like, they had, like, a Just Dance demo, for instance, that I actually did download, and then I didn't actually really use it, because it was, this is, like, so off-topic. Well, not really, because it's Ubisoft, Just Dance is a thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't end up really utilizing it, because it was, like, that Whip Nene song, and I didn't want to have to do that. I didn't want to do that, so I just didn't use it, and I just deleted it. But, still looking for a good Just Dance game of, like, you know, good tracks I want. But, with that in mind, I would love a demo for this, because I think, I'm, like, more open to this game than I was before, and I think the whole internet really is, which is interesting to see, because I think at first everyone's like, this is dumb, like, I hate
it's
this.
Weird, yeah.
And now they're like, I could get behind this.
The mechanics of it look kind of good. It looks solid.
And I think it's gonna need to find a home with, like, you know, an older gaming community, and by older I mean, like, you know, teenage and up, because at first the Mario Rabbids thing seemed like it would be marketed towards kids, like, mm-hmm. a very, like, kid game, but, you know, and it's hard for me to tell, like, what kids are capable of doing on their own. Like, what's the youngest kid that could play a game like this, you know? I'm not really sure. So I'm thinking this is going to find, like, its home is just going to be with gamers in general rather than kids. At first, I thought it'd be, like, more of a kid game. But with it being so strategy-heavy, not that kids can't do strategy, but it seems like it's geared towards, like, a slightly older audience. So, yeah, the comments seemed interesting. I'm still, like, wondering, like, what is really happening in the game. Like, obviously it's a Mario game, so it doesn't need, like, this big plot or anything, but I'm just kind of not sure, like,
I think,
is it stage-based? Like, is it, you know, would it be, like, boss battle? Like, kind of, I'm still not completely sure on that aspect of it. And I wonder if it'll, like, get repetitive. Like, you know, that's kind
it's
of
quite,
my
I mean,
reservation.
It's always really possible with games like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So we'll see. I think I might pick it up. Which is not something I expected when I first saw it.
Me neither,
like,
but
no,
I could go with some, like, strategy, and I like that, even though it seems like it could get annoying, like, the way you move, because you have to kind of, like, you, like, kind of pick your spot. It's almost like a weird chess, where you, like, you know, you can move in certain directions and stuff, but, you know, I really liked, and these games weren't really similar at all, but, like, I really liked Lara Croft Go, where you kind of picked a spot, and then you move there, and it was kind of similar in its combat, because, like, you know, you would need to get, like, on the side of a snake to kill it. Like, if you were in front of it, you'd die, and, like, that kind of thing. This kind of has a similar, like, functionality in the way, like, the field functions is almost like a game board, sort of.
Definitely.
So I think I could maybe, like, this could be a nice, especially on the Switch with it having a handheld mode, like, oh, I'm in bed, I'm just casually, like, solving some of these kind of combat puzzles. So I could see myself enjoying that, but like I said, I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of not sure, but I'm more open-minded than I was before the conference, which I think was really probably their goal when they started this, because they had the leak. Everyone was kind of like, eh, and now people were a lot more on board. So
yeah, so it's nice to see that happen instead of being, you know, the opposite, which we see sometimes.
And Mario shot a gun for the first time in history.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
So cute.
Oh, yeah, I love Miyamoto on stage.
Yeah.
I love Miyamoto. Miyamoto's amazing. Anything he does, he's so cute. He's like the cutest person ever.
Oh, yeah.
I love him.
So it was so great since, you know, Nintendo doesn't really do their E3 that he still got it, like...
Yeah, I think him coming out really helped sell the game. Like, it set a tone that was, like...
I was like, look, he's so excited about it.
Like, you can't be mad. Yeah. Miyamoto's here.
Yeah, I love Miyamoto. He's just awesome. Yeah, so that was what they started off with. I thought it was a pretty good start. And then they went into, what was it, the crew?
Yeah, but before I jump into that, what is the name of the girl that's normally there for Ubisoft? Is Aisha Tyler, or
I don't know.
She's the girl that plays Ross's girlfriend on Friends, that one actress. She's, like, normally, like, the Ubisoft person. She always makes those, like, inappropriate jokes. She's, like, really tall.
Ross had a lot of girlfriends.
You don't remember, like, the Ubisoft girl, though? She wasn't there this year, so...
I'm not really that into Ubisoft. So, I mean, I watched the conference last year, but I didn't, like, intensely watch it, you know?
Okay, I'm gonna try to find her name, because I don't want to say her name wrong. But it was interesting with her not being there, because she's, like... To me, when I think Ubisoft, it is Aisha Tyler. Okay.
Okay.
I'll show you a picture of her just to like remind you of like, oh yeah, it's that girl. This chick. She's like always there. She's like always makes these like, sexual comments and jokes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she wasn't there, and I thought that would be a really big hit to Ubisoft, because even though she's like, her jokes are kind of cringy because they're really cheesy and like, oh hell, you know, LOL, like a boner joke kind of thing. That's like her humor for that. It's still kind of like, you know, I don't know, it's entertaining, it gives you something, it adds character, so I thought Ubisoft would really struggle with that, but I didn't miss a beat. I felt like it was, you know, nice, clean presentation.
Well, they kept this really, like, very clean cut.
It was really well-paced to me. Yeah.
Which a lot of conference did not do well.
No, Microsoft, they did not.
Holy
I was confused.
Cow.
But yeah, they announced the Crew 2. This is a game that I'm not really that into. My only experience with the Crew was I downloaded it for one of those like free weekends, or I think it might have been a game with gold for one time, and I tried to play it, but like, as you guys may know on this channel / podcast already, like, I'm not very good at like realistic racing games, and I put that up on somewhere on the internet and someone's like, oh, that one's not like a realistic one though. For me, it's realistic enough that I'm really bad at it. So I like started playing it, and it was just like, I liked what they were doing with this whole like, they start you off and you're like signing up with a race like company, that's not the right phrase, but like, you know, you're getting signed basically as a racer, as a, you know, that type of athlete, and you get to like pick all the stuff and sign your contract, and it's pretty cool, but like, I just sucked really bad, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just not gonna do it. So that's my experience with the Crew 2. I've heard nothing but good things about it though. I know a lot of people that play it and they enjoy it, so, you know, hopefully it's
like
a good game.
And it might be. I feel like I only have so much room in my heart for racing games though. And
yeah, that's
for
fair.
Me, it's Need for Speed.
Yeah.
So I don't have any more room for racing games in my life right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday, like, my universe will expand a little bit and I can let Crew in. But as of right now, I'm like, okay, so it's not Need for Speed, so I'm going to move on.
That's an interesting thing about racing games. I think unless it's, like, maybe your genre, which I'm sure there are, like, those, you know, big racing aficionados out there. But if it's not, I think a lot of people will only have, like, a handful. You'll have like your cart, you know, like maybe Mario Kart. Or
oh yeah, Mario Kart's like super
you'll have
different.
Like your unrealistic one, so it could be Need for Speed, Midnight Club, and then some people will do a third one that's like more on the realistic side. So maybe like Forza Horizon. Even, you know, Horizon's not super realistic; it's like a mix, that's hybrid of it. So
it's kind of weird because it's not like I'm ever gonna say I don't think I can handle another RPG in my life. I'm like, of course I can.
Racing,
me,
I think
racing's
it's
different.
A very specific.
Yeah, it's like
it's a very specific type of
hyper focus.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was interesting to see, and I hope it does well. But I feel like for me, Ubisoft is a lot of stuff that I'm like, that looks cool, but I'm not really gonna play it, which I feel bad about. But there was one that I was really interested in, was the Skull and Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I feel like in our last video, if you guys watched when we covered Bethesda's press conference, it was mentioned that sometimes, like, cinematic trailers can be misleading as to what the gameplay is actually like. And I feel like this was one of those instances, because it was like, oh, it's like a piratey game, and it was like all the cinematic stuff, and there was this cool pirate chick, and they were blowing stuff up, and then there was these other pirates that came up, and it seemed kind of character-focused in strange ways, and I was very into it, and I was like, is it like a pirate RPG? Mm-hmm. Because I've never really... Maybe there are pirate RPGs that exist. Like, if I thought about it for a little bit, I'd probably be able to come up with some. But none that were good, and that mm-hmm. I've heard of. Like, a really solid pirate RPG would be amazing.
People are really trying to pull off the pirates lately. Like, it's, yeah, like, the big thing right now.
But this was... Like, well, first of all, this looked way nicer than Sea of Thieves. Yes. No offense. But it did look a lot nicer. But it's also very different from what I could tell from what they talked about in the trailer. Very different from what I originally expected from the cinematic trailer. So then I went into the gameplay trailer, and it's basically like kind of like pirate Call of Duty. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like battle system, which I think is very interesting. And that's actually something I would be more interested in playing than Call of Duty, because for me, I feel like Call of Duty is sort of this, like, situation where everyone's already really in it, and if you haven't started, like, a long time ago, mm-hmm. then you're not going to be as good as anyone else, and everyone's going to be rude and obnoxious, and I know this because I have played some Call of Duty. So, this does happen. I'm not very good, and that's okay, because I don't mind not being good, but other people mind you not being good.
That's the hard thing about playing, which online. Is another thing we should probably talk about, like, playing online with strangers, like the... It's like, oh, I'm just ruining everyone's time.
And I'm not even that bad. I'm, yeah, like, I'm, like, aggressively medium, mm-hmm. at, you know, at
Call of Duty. But with Call of Duty, you can get really...
Some people are amazing. Some people are really good. And good for them, but that's not really my life, you know?
Right, so then...
I don't really want to play Call of Duty. It's not something that I find entertaining that much. I mean, like, I find it, like, kind of entertaining. Like, I enjoy playing it to a level, but I don't like some of the aspects of the mm-hmm. online play. I feel like with Skull and Bones,
yeah,
that it would be more interesting because it's, like, this kind of new system of battle. Mm-hmm. Like, who really has that much experience?
Right.
Like, with a pirate ship, you know, whatever. I'm like, I can get on the ground level with this, and maybe I will. Also, yeah. I really love pirates. I really do. I love pirates. I love pirates. I love zombies. I'm just basic till I die. Like, yeah. So
a zombie pirate game. But... Whoa.
Well, you know, there's some... Yeah, okay, never mind. Go ahead. I'm not gonna get into this.
As far as Skull and Bones, it seemed alright. It kind of... It didn't leave, like, a lasting impression on me, but one thing that I'm kind of intrigued by is the fact that, like, it's kind of inspired by the ship combat in Assassin's Creed Black mm-hmm. Flag. So they
it
kind
must
of,
have been really popular.
Yeah, and people... And that's what they said. They're like, everyone loved it so much that we, like, made a game, like, inspired by that. So I guess I'm wondering... Well, I guess one thing that might, like, one hint that this game might actually be good is that it's, like, its own thing separate from Assassin's Creed, because we've seen a lot of games, like, in general, where they take a component of the main game, try to make its own game. So, like, you know, you brought up in our last conversation, like, the card game thing, and, like, you're kind of trying to branch off, but it doesn't really work all the way. You know, we see that in, you know, Jak X, which is, like, the Jak racing game, because they tried to get the racing component of the Jak game and, like, make its own game. And, like, you know, it didn't really work that well to me. So...
I mean, you have successful instances yeah, of that as well.
Exactly.
Like Mario Kart.
CTR, Crash Team Racing, is, like, so good. But I think it's cool that since they made its own thing, I think it's more likely to be successful because you're able to, like, do more with it since you're not, like... tied to the confines of the thing that you're inspired by.
The lore, the history, the plots, the characters.
Yeah, so that could be cool. I know there was, like, that one lady pirate. People were into her. Like, I'm into that. That's cool. Like, you know.
Yeah. It seemed good.
Like, characters, that seems good. Whatever. But, yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm willing to, like, test it out, but definitely not, like, a... You know, like a day one buy for me, but...
Oh, no, probably not.
I'm open to it. I mean, I'm always looking for more games to play, especially from, you know, developers or publishers that I don't normally play games from. So,
yeah, we'll check it out.
Starlink Battle of Atlas. So,
yeah,
this was
so weird.
Confusing to me and to Jess. So, we actually watched the trailer again before recording this.
Just trying to get some clarity, you know?
Because I didn't know what it was. I'm like... You know, I'm like, what's that game where you, like, have the toys and you, like, build the thing and the things in the game? And that's this game. So this game is called Starlink Battle of Atlas.
Battle for Atlas.
Really? Battle for Atlas?
Yes.
Battle for Atlas. Starlink Battle for Atlas. First of all, the name is bad. It's a very gamey-sounding name. It's like what you, like, it's like
Starlink
a first draft.
Battle for Atlas.
Yeah, it sounds bad, you know. But then again, a lot of things sound bad. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy sounds lame. And
oh,
that's,
it does
that franchise
lame.
Is fine. Like, so I don't know. You know, what's in a name type thing, but it's an interesting thing that I found with it is that, so the way it functions, it seems, you know, based on the trailer, is that you, like, have these toys that go with the game. So it's a Toys to Life game, which I'm surprised to see because Toys to Life is basically, like, dying out.
Yeah, it's like
dead.
A dying industry.
You know, they, like, Skylanders is
Well, Amiibos
done, right?
Are still kind of doing okay.
Yeah.
Ish.
Though, Would you? Did, yeah,
did you see Link in Skyrim? Yeah. You know,
I think I would count it as Toys to Life. Though for me, when I think Toys to Life, or maybe at least in this instance, I'm talking about games that you need the toys to play.
Oh, okay.
So like Skylanders, Imagineers, you need those toys.
Yeah.
And there's like Disney Infinity. You needed the toys, or like you didn't need the toys. I don't know if you need them. I know they were like
related,
part of something. But yeah, so I was just surprised to see a game that required you to have toys, because that has been you know, dying out. So that's interesting. It's also kind of weird to me, though, that, like, the device goes on, like, the toy, like, the ship or whatever will go on the controller. It's, like, attached to the controller.
It seems kind of cumbersome.
It seems cumbersome, and I don't see what that adds to the gameplay experience. However, when we were watching the trailer, I did notice that, like, in the game, like, the visual, like, video game, they were like, oh, we gotta make adjustments or something. And then they, like, kind of cut to, like, you know, the player, and the player, like, takes something off the ship and then puts something else in the ship, kind of, you know, the way you would do in an actual game. You just do that on via a menu, but you did it, like, in real life. So I'm wondering, like, is this gonna be like a real time, like, you're making mods to your real life ship to make the video game ship, like, you know, more like able to function in a certain, like, circumstance? Like, that also seems kind of like a lot going on, you know, with it being mounted on either. They showed, specifically, they highlighted the Switch controller and the PS4 controller. I don't know if that means it's not coming to Xbox, or, like, maybe I just didn't see the Xbox one there, but the whole thing was a little weird to me.
For me, it's not something I'm going to get into.
Definitely
because
not.
I'm not really, like, a collector like that. Some people really are into collecting things like that.
Yeah.
And so if you are, and, like, it combines your love for video games, that's dope. Like, that's really cool that this exists. But for me, it's, like, not my style. I don't really collect anything like that.
Yeah.
Except for Star Wars pop figurines. Star Wars pop figurines exclusively. No other pops.
I don't really have a good sense either of how popular Toys to Life is with adults. And I don't mean that, like, in a condescending way. Like, obviously, Amiibo's huge with adults and kids as well, but I know, like, Skylanders and Imagineers, I'm pretty sure, is, like, more, like, I think it's more of a child demographic for that. Disney Infinity, I know it's kind of across the board, I think, because Disney's so popular. It's probably because Skylanders, I think, was, like, always marketed towards kids, so I'm, like, this is just, like, me, not based on numbers at all, I'm just kind of guessing. I think that's more of, like, a kid thing, so I'm wondering, you know, if this does find its niche, like, what the audience for that will look like, you know.
I think there'll be grown people playing that.
Yeah, I mean, it looked, like, graphically, it looked, like, more of an adult game. It definitely wasn't, like,
the
kidified or
games,
anything.
It looked complex to play.
Yeah, that's the other thing,
I think,
too.
That it won't be as... I don't... Kids can be really good at games.
But even Skylanders Imagineer seems complex to me. Like, I don't understand what... Like, the toy... Like, I don't know what Toys to Life, like, really is. Like, how it works. Like, I've tried to explain to people.
I think it's a little bit different for each game.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean...
But the kids figure it out, so I don't know. Like,
right. Kids are a lot better at video games than we give them credit for sometimes.
I think so.
Yeah, but I'm probably not going to play that, but it was interesting to see something like that. It was unexpected for me.
Yeah, well, see how, the fan base for that flourishes or doesn't, you know? I don't really know how something like that would do. It's very new. I don't know.
So something that's not new is Far Cry.
Yeah.
So Far Cry 5 was announced, the trailer was shown. I guess probably it was already...
It's the gameplay trailer, I think.
It's the gameplay trailer.
Yeah, because we've seen, like, the cinematic, like, teaser
before,
thing.
Yeah,
and then, like,
this was the gameplay. I'm not a huge fan of Far Cry. I don't think they're bad games.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of them, and I've played a little bit of a couple of them.
You have Primal, and then what else?
Four.
Primal and Four, okay.
And it's fine. It's, to me... It's just not as engaging. It feels very generic to me, to a lot of games in the genre.
I get the sense,
but it's still solid. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
still solid. I'm not saying it's a bad game, and I'm not saying it's, like, not unique at all. I know there's some, like, lore stuff that's very interesting going on and whatever, but on the whole, I haven't found it to be that engaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lot of the times, like, it feels to me like a more guided version of, like, Skyrim or Fallout, where
mm-hmm.
you have, it's like a similar kind of game, RPGs, and with a similar kind of stuff you can do,
uh-huh.
but, like, it's, you have more of a plot to follow, which I don't mind doing, but for me, those are, like, every once in a while games, and there's too many Far Cries for me to really, like, have it be every once in a while game.
I can totally relate to that.
But it seems fine, I've enjoyed, the gameplay is solid for the games I played,
mm-hmm.
so I don't, once again, I want to reiterate, I don't think Far Cry is, like, a bad game series, I'm just, you know.
Yeah, it
there's
doesn't
a lot
stand
of games
out in its genre.
That I think I could play that would give me a similar level of satisfaction. I think that's the best way of phrasing it.
Yeah, and it kind of comes off that way to me. Like, that's kind of what it looks like, which I guess is kind of unfair to just say, so I'm going to try to, like, you know, piece out what that means, because I've never played a four-card game, and I don't play a whole lot of games like it. So, but to me, like, and maybe it's because we, you know, we live in the era, like, of, like, really good GTA, so I'm kind of wondering, and granted, I fell off the GTA, like, train a while ago, mainly because I just kind of outgrew, like, the, like, I wasn't interested in exploring those tropes anymore. Like, there was a time in my life where I just really loved to just go around and, like, you know, run over prostitutes and, like, shoot cops in the head. And now, I'm not saying that's not all GTA is. It's evolved a lot since then. But for me, it's always tied to that. So I just haven't explored it in a while. Because I'm like, I don't, you know, and I want to get into it. But now it's so old that I'm like, I'm just going to wait until the next one comes out. And then I'll check that one out. But, you know, but I still know that GTA is, like, you know, one of the, such a good game. And there's so many, like, other good games. I feel like the reason Far Cry comes off as being kind of basic to me is, I guess it doesn't show me anything that I haven't already seen before in terms of, like, its gunplay and in terms of the how the world looks and how I feel like I'm going to be able to move in that world. So it looks, you know, a lot like kind of every other game. It's like, oh, I don't know, like, Watch... Like, I think I'd have more fun playing Watch Dogs, for instance, and, like, Far Cry. So I'm like, well, I don't know. But it's... I don't know. For me, it's very hard to say, too, what I will enjoy in a game that has, like, a predominant shooting component, because I
right, I'm also, aren't really your thing.
Yeah, it's not as much my thing, so it's just, I guess for me, like, what would I be looking for in this game, because I am intrigued by it, and I'm considering picking it up. I guess, like, yeah, I don't know. I think I might just get it, because it's probably going to be, like, a decent experience, but, but something I was excited about for it was, I liked the gameplay trailer. I think it was cool. They showed, like, gameplay and characters. I think something I was turned off by was that, like, I think the reason it came off as basic in its gameplay was because, like, other than Boomer, which is, like, the dog that gets you guns, which is awesome.
Very cool.
Which I love. That dog. That dog's great. Other than that, like, it was, like, I don't know. You were in, like, you were on a road, and there were, like, five people to kill. And I don't know. It just seemed, like, not that exciting. Like, I don't know. It was just, like, kill these five people, and then, you know, maybe I'll pick something up and then keep going. I don't know. I guess it felt... from the gameplay trailer, it felt a little uninspired to me, in the way that it worked. But yeah, so that's where I'm at with Far Cry. But I might pick it up. I mean, it seems like it could be cool. But yeah, I guess a game like that, I'm not really sure if I'm there for story, how much I care about the story, like that, you know? Like,
yeah, it's one of those games where it has a story, but it's probably not very exceptional. It's very Dying Light. That's what I was trying to think of, a good game that's an example that's like Far Cry.
It comes off as a good B game.
It's like a B-level game. Because Dying Light is like, you know, it's a zombie game, but it's also very, okay, go here, do this. Go here, do this. Go here, and do this. You know, like, okay, and you do it, and there's, like, some stuff to kill, and there are some cool moments.
Yeah.
But, like, overall, is Dying Light an amazing game? No. It's decent. But it's not amazing.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I probably won't play it just because I'm not really into Far Cry. But
yeah, you played a couple of them, so,
I mean, I haven't played, like, played a couple. I've yeah. played pieces of a couple, right. And I'm not into it.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see what happens to that. And then, of course, the, like, huge, groundbreaking announcement of Beyond Good and Evil 2 happened, which was crazy. And yeah. Marty Sliva from IGN needs to eat his coffee mug because he said he would. And he hasn't
yet. Eat his coffee mug? I saw someone on Twitter said, anyone, this was before the conference, anyone who retweets this or who likes this tweet, I'm buying pizza.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one too. And I think they did it after the conference.
Oh, did they do it after the conference?
I think they did it after, to be funny.
Oh,
but
I saw it after.
But I saw it after as well. I think, I was trying to parse it out with the times. But yeah, Marty Sliva from IGN, I know him through Podcast Unlocked. Like, know of him now. Like, I don't personally know him, obviously. But he put on Twitter, like, if way before like the kind of teaser kind of started with it, he's like, if Beyond Good and Evil 2 gets announced, I will eat my coffee mug, like, on stage, like, and, you know, during the live show. And everyone's like, are you hungry yet, Marty? Like, what's going on? And, you know, it's been, he also said that he would quit IGN if he didn't finish all the Mass Effect games before Andromeda. Got through one. He got through the first one.
Plus, you can't trust this guy's bet.
At least I think that might have been Marty. Maybe it was someone else. I think it was Marty. But yeah, no, Marty's just, he's just full of it. But that was just funny, though. But yeah, that's really exciting. I actually, and neither has Jess, I've never played Beyond Good and Evil.
No, I never played Beyond Good and Evil. There's a couple of things I feel
it's
like...
It's a venial sin. I'm sad about it.
No, it's one of those issues where I feel like we're young enough that this is still okay. Because we're still pretty young. People are always going to be like, what? You never played that game? Are you insane? But they've never played any of the games you love either. Because you have a like a set of things that you had accessible to you at a certain age. So when this game came out, what did you say, 2002?
2002, 2003, yeah.
2002, 2003. We were like...
In third grade,
yeah. So I was not in charge of what was coming into my household. You know, I could ask for things, but also I didn't like get on the internet all the time. I didn't know what was out there. I'd go to the Target and I'd look at the games and I'd be like, that one looks cool. And that was it. So I didn't know Beyond Good and Evil really existed. I mean, I've heard of it now, obviously, like being around in the video gamer community. But like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life until I'm 80 making up for the game gaps I had as a child.
Yeah.
And my kid is never going to have to go through that because I'm going to be on it. I don't blame my parents. The gaming community is very different now than
it was
then.
Yeah, it's just easier to
know.
Now
it's very
easy
to know what's going on.
Now it's almost too easy to know what's going on. It's like too much stuff.
Gaming community. And so, like, my kids, I'd be like, okay, so this year, this is what's slotted to come out. You're going to play this one, this one, this one. This is a classic. We're going to go back and play these old ones. You know, like, it's going to be great.
This sounds very intense. When's your kid going to
go to
school?
Do you know me at all? Homeschool.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I have not actually thought this all out. I just had this plan just now. But I'm still going to follow through on
it. The first time I even heard about Beyond Good and Evil was... honestly, probably just a few years ago, because once again, like, I'm sure it was a big deal when it came out, and I know it's, like, a big deal game, but, like, as a kid, I never heard of it, never played it, which is crazy, because I did have, like, you know, I had all Sony consoles, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I had Sony consoles, too, I just never got them.
Yeah, but, so for this, it's weird, because I'm, like, very much from the outside looking in on this, but, you know, I'm happy about it, because I know this franchise is good, and I'm sure this game will also be good, and it's... seems like it's super early in development, so I have time now to, like... now I'm going to bump Beyond Good and Evil up on my priority list for a game.
Yeah.
Though it might be really hard, because if it's a PS2 game, I don't think it's been remastered. And that was... I mean...
I'll just play it on PS2.
But it's just like... ugh, it looks really bad. But I think this one won't look as bad because of what it is. Like, certain games, like, depending on how realistic you were going for a look, they're harder to go back to. Beyond Good and Evil seems like it's, like, not trying to be that. Like, you know, like, kind of cartoony enough that you can... you know, it's not as bad. But yeah, this is me speaking from having tried to play Shadow of the Colossus, which was coming up, you know, it's jumping the gun to Sony, but like having tried to play that PS3 remaster, it looks bad. It looks very, very bad. It is so bad that it's
painful
to look at.
Trying to play the remaster?
Yeah, it's...
the remaster looks fine.
Oh, it's...
we'll talk about this in the next
video.
It's all
like dusty and... okay, anyway, but...
that's the aesthetic of the game, but it's okay.
No, but, like, it's... well, we'll talk about it in a second. Okay, it's, okay. Like, too much. But, yeah, I think this will still, like, look pretty good because it's, like, has more of, like, a cartoon style. The same reason, like, Jack and Daxter, like... on two,
it's like
on
you
three.
Can still play Crash Bandicoot. Like,
yeah,
the remaster's, like, fine, but the game itself, you can still play.
Yeah, visually, it looks fine. I mean, it's, like, it's a little fuzzy, but, like, it's not, like, you know, it's not bad.
Morrowind, Oblivion...
or, like,
you know, they look pretty gross.
MGS2 still actually looks pretty good, but you can just tell it's way older because, like, when it came out, you were like, whoa, it's beautiful. And now you're like,
whoa.
I mean, it's kind of
like, I've actually had moments like that in games, and then I go back later and I'm like, I can't
for
play.
Like MGS2 when it came out, like, back, you know, this is totally off topic, but they were like, it's like, wow, games can look as good as movies. And it's like, were we high that it look as good as a movie? Even then, it didn't look as good. But,
yeah.
So. I'm excited about this in the sense that I know it's a good franchise. Now I have incentive to play the first one. And just because I know, like I have franchises that I really love and that I would live another game for. So I'm like, you go, Beyond Good and Evil fans.
Yeah, I'm so
like,
excited
you,
for them.
Yeah, man. I'm like, I'm really hyped about that more than anything. Because I think even if I play this game and love it, like, I still won't have the emotional connection that these people have because they've waited so long and they,
right,
you know,
right.
Like... so I'm just really excited for
like the
gamers
people
that
who
are
actually
about it.
Watched the original Before Sunrise movie before
yes.
9 years passed until the next one came out.
Right,
we're not
like,
going to go into it now, guys.
I'm not,
but look it up. It's a great movie.
I can't relate. So I can't relate to what you know all those fans must be feeling. But I'm happy for that. Like on behalf of those fans,
definitely.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So we have now covered Ubisoft. We've covered Bethesda, Microsoft, and EA.
Yeah.
Up next, we're going to do Sony. So, you know, go ahead and click on over to the next video. Go catch one of the other ones we did earlier. Make sure to give this video a thumbs up. I'll share it on social media profiles. Follow our channel.
Yep.
If you're listening on the podcast, go ahead and rate us if you're on Stitcher or if you're on iTunes. That's always super helpful. You have no idea. And we're also on social media. Jenna, do you want to do this one? She's way better than I am at it. I get mixed up every time.
Yeah, we're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at BitByBigGaming. And then we're on Facebook at BitByBigGamers. And you can find everything we do, like, you know, what inspired us to do it, et cetera, all the info, all the social links. You can find that on our website, which is BitByBigGamers.com. So yeah, definitely let us know like what you're excited about in this, how you feel on Mario & Rabbids. How long did you wait for Beyond Good and Evil 2? Like, you know, did you play it when it first came out? You know, what are your thoughts on Far Cry 5? All that good stuff. Everything Ubisoft covered. Anything else you feel like letting us know, you can tell it in the comments on YouTube or on social media. And we will see you guys next time.
Thanks. Bye.